Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. God bless you all. It's pouring outside, yet here you sit. You love God that much that you would just get up and get dressed and come here. Now, I want to give you an answer to prayers that we've been praying, even though they have to leave a little bit early because he's still recovering. But Greg and Faith are here today. Back to church. In the church, Greg is under 3 surgeries in 1 year for his back and his shoulder and stuff, and he's not even close to being 100%, but they wanted to come today, just come and say hi to everybody, and hopefully they stay as long, even in the rain, yeah, but hopefully they can stay a little bit, but if they get up and leave, they're not mad at me or mad at you or anything. It's just his pain level is just a little more than he can deal with. Yes, Marilyn?
But he has a Yankee jacket on, so that's good.
He wore the Yankee jacket to be in unity, to be unified with me. Because he understands the pain that we've seen. Sergio, a win is a win is a win. When you don't win, it's not a win. So I just like you to see, because we just take for granted. I'm sorry we do. In this nation, we take things for granted. I'm sorry, but we do. That we ask, we've been praying to God for him, for recovery, for everything to get through the surgery. And you're looking at a prayer answer. And there's no such thing as a small prayer answer. That's an abomination. That would be blasphemy. If you ask God to do something and he does it, it's a great thing answer. So we love you, Greg, and Faith, and we miss you. And we're so glad that you're here today.
And I love every single one of you. And I thank every single one of you for your prayers. And I just want to share with everybody, I'm retired. I still work. I only work 2 days a week because I'm not sure about the finances, but I'm retired. So now I'm really up this case all the time.
So, no worries, okay.
I'm sorry.
No, you didn't. We're here for you. This is your church.
Yes.
I'm not standing up there like I'm special. I'm up there because I want to preach. But this is your church.
Yes.
This is Greg's church. It's all your church. Yes. This is your home, everybody, with the Lord. Yeah. My wife said Greg's got a nice head of hair. The wife's got a tape. You want another prayer answer? Y'all want to hear another prayer answer, or you just be happy with life?
No.
Sitting in the back corner, Deacon Bill, he's back with us every week. He's feeling better. But I have more.
You have more? Nice.
He's going back to work this week. No, he doesn't need the money. He said they miss him and they keep calling and say, so he's going back. So can anybody say thank you, Jesus? I hope so.
Thank you.
That's so good. I mean, God is so good. We take them for granted. Don't look at me and shake your head. I know you do. Amen. Pray for Anne Marie. She's under the weather today. She's not under the weather because John's here and she didn't get out in the weather, but she's not feeling well. We had the most vigorous Bible study Tuesday night. I think it was so exciting. And I'm going to get into that later. I'm not, going to get into what we talked about exactly, just to tell you that we had a really powerful Bible study because I want you to know and have knowledge. Amen. I don't want you to believe like me. I don't want you to think like me. I'm not your boss. I'm your pastor, which means I'm your shepherd. Amen. I believe that God hears our prayers. I believe this nation is blessed because we follow his teachings. I believe that the forefathers understood that. Our country is not perfect, never was perfect, never will be perfect. But I believe that they understood if this nation was to be strong, we had to stand with God. That the values of his grace and his mercy and his love for us. And I believe that's why America is the country that it is today. No other country in the world does the way we do and has the blessings that we have. I believe that. Maybe I'm prejudiced, but I see it in this beautiful nation. So give God praise and glory. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, thank you. I ask for all kinds of beautiful blessings on these folks who chose to come to church on this rainy day. In Jesus' name. All right, pray.
None of us.
saved by anything that we did. You didn't do enough. You couldn't do enough. It was His grace and His mercy. Anybody remember where Jesus was born? Where was He born? What river was He baptized in? The Jordan River. He was born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Amazing grace.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound.
Say, I don't How do you say it? I don't want God to be on my team. I want to be on his team.
Amen.
Because if he's on my team, we're going to do it my way. Guess what's going to happen? No, don't guess. But if you're on his team, miracles can happen. Let me say that again. If you're on God's team, miracles can happen. Do you believe that? Where's your faith level? I'm going to ask you during the sermon, where's your faith level? How much can you pray for that you have faith for? You see a destruction in the world. Amen. I know you all watch TV and hear the news. There's a lot of destruction going on. Where are your prayers? Are they going to God to heal the land? Whatever. Say, your will be done. And you trust him enough just to say, your will be done, Lord? Because how many know there's evil in the world? Amen. It's Satan's place. Of course there's evil in the world. And nobody's perfect. But some people are just not very nice.
Okay.
You know, that's the truth. It's the truth. Hallelujah. What did Boaz, this is in the book of Ruth, which is a story I love. I hope you've read it a few times. It's really a fun story. I guess, can I say that? Every time I start reading the Bible, Gene, I figure this is fun. This, especially if I learn something. Because when you read the Bible, who can talk to you?
God.
Yeah. What did Boaz give Ruth to take to her mother-in-law? Now, that's an open question right there. What did Boaz give to Ruth to take to her mother-in-law? Six measures of barley, six measures of grain, or two lambs and a female goat? What did Boaz give Ruth to take to her mother-in-law? Here, how many think six measures of barley? To get barley? Six measures of grain. Anybody with grain? How about two lambs and a female goat? That was better than I thought, Dave. I thought nobody was going to buy that, but they did. No, six measures of barley.
That's a grain too.
I like that though, Gabe. I got it with the lamb. And you know what got you? The female goat, right? You went for the lamb. But barley is a specific grain. According to Ruth 3:15, it was barley. You take it up with God. What did Ruth wait for Boaz to do? Here's the before going into him. What did Ruth wait for Boaz to do before going in with him? And the word before is important. Sell the barley, eat and drink, or go and lie down. What did Ruth wait for Boaz to do before going in? How about sell the barley? I'm going to wait for him to sell the barley. How about eat and drink? I'm going to wait for him to eat and drink. How about go and lie down? Yeah, see? You got it now. She waited for him to go and lie down. The Bible said, after he ate and drank, he went and lied down. You see that word before? See? Because you could have said the other, but she waited for him to lie down. This is a great story. What did the kinsman, the relative of Boaz, give to Boaz? The kinsman. What did he give to Boaz? Did he give him two goats? Did he give him a shoe or a deed to land? What did the kinsman give to Boaz, his relative? What did he give? How about he gave two goats? He gave him two goats. Anybody? How about a shoe? He gave him a shoe. Anybody with a shoe? How about a deed to land? Oh, you got to read that again. It was the custom of the time. You see, his kinsman was older than he was, and he had privilege with Ruth before Boaz, he had to go. And it's custom in their country, and their belief was he gave him his shoe. He gave him his shoe off his foot to show that, yes, I'm giving you the privilege to take. That was my privilege I'm passing on to you. It was custom in their land. Wow, that was really good. It's in the book of Ruth 4:8. But he gave him his shoe. Anybody remember, and I'm not being political, but when George Bush was in Iraq and G.W. was giving the speech and somebody got up and threw a shoe at him? And actually he threw two and George. That was custom. There was meaning to the shoe. It wasn't just like, what can I throw at him? The fact that it was a shoe was a custom in that. That was pretty cool. Why were the people angered after Jesus read in the synagogue of Nazareth? Anybody ever hear of the town of Nazareth? Where is it? sins? Because he proclaimed that he was the one sent to be Lord, or because he had told them that they were blasphemers and hypocrites? Why did they not enjoy his company? Why were they angry? How many think because he urged them to repent of their sins? Anybody? How about because he proclaimed that he was the one sent to be Lord? Anybody? How about because he told them that they were blasphemers and hypocrites? Anybody got that? Well, I got some. Because he proclaimed that he was the one sent to be Lord.
Hallelujah.
They still don't get it. Amen. That they're fighting themselves to get it. Some people in some Hebrew people, Israel people, Jewish people say they can't even say the name Jesus because they think he's an idol to Christians. And they can't speak. I mean, that's crazy to stop yourself from saying a word like God's gonna come down with a hammer on your head. But that's how some people are. Amen? We're gonna get to that. Alright. Who did Jesus come to call to repentance? You know all of us. Right? Who did Jesus come to call to repentance? Jews, Gentiles, or sinners? Who did Jesus come to call repentance? How many think Jews? He came for the Jews. How about Gentiles? He came for the Gentiles. How about sinners?
Sinners.
Jesus came to call repentance to sinners.
Yeah.
He is not a respecter of people. He's not a respecter of the titles that we give each other or what we call each other. He shows no partiality. That's not fair, right? Because you did all these great things and somebody else gets in too. Yeah. That's called God shows no partiality. He came for sinners. Those who would do what? Believe in his name. Amen. We had a great, I think we had a very interesting Bible study. Johnny said it was pretty loud and pretty hard. He sat at the end of the table. We were in the little room because it was cold. And Johnny was way at the end of the table. And he said with all the noise, it was hard for him to hear. And I get that. But we were all, I mean, it was good. I just pray you got something spiritually out of it. Amen. Thank you for being here. It's all about Jesus. Say it all the time, right? God has a
plan.
I know. But I went last week. It started with Adam and Eve. It started with Adam and Eve. Because we need a Savior to take away the sins of man. We need a Savior to take away the sins of who?
Man.
Not the sins of the world. Is that interesting to you? He didn't come to take away the sins of the world. He came away to take the sins of man. He's not worried about the world. He's worried about each and every one of us. Jesus came to take away the sins of man. Those who would do what? Believe. What do you have to do on Jesus? Believe with your heart. Confess with your mouth. You don't even have to do the confession part. That's just for our ears. And it's good for yours. But you have to believe that he said he was who he was and that he came for us. For our salvation. Amen? It's all about who? Jesus. There are those who simply do not believe in God. How many know that's true? Say amen. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe in sin, or the Bible, or Jesus. The Bible tells us that. And what does the Bible say about those people? They have their reward. This life will be their reward. Whatever they accomplish in this world, that will be their reward. Jesus didn't get mad at them, amen? He didn't call them names. He didn't holler at them. They didn't believe. He said they don't believe God. How many know there's a lot of people out there that don't believe in anything like that? They believe in evolution, that an explosion caused all this. So they have their reward, whatever they think they've discovered. I think that's really interesting. But there are also those who believe in a God. That's true. But not the God of the Bible. Not Jesus. They believe in a God. They believe other things that they've read. And they hold on to that. They follow other commandments, other promises, other beliefs, other laws. That's what they walk as. We as Christians And what is the word Christian? Christ-like. We who are Christ-like. Isn't that interesting to say that I'm a Christian? No, I want to be Christ-like. Have no hate in our hearts for them. Amen. Anybody do? Let it go. We have no hate in our hearts for anybody who has any other belief. Amen. Why should we? And I say there is no need for us to hate them. How many know that's true? If they don't believe God, if they hate God, if they hate the Bible, and what do, church? We pray for them. We don't have to be, you know, some people, and you don't see it, and you don't understand people of other faiths, even in other religions, almost hate us because we're not part of that. They call us names. They say we're infidels. They say we're pagans simply because we don't believe as they do. But as Christians, we look at people who don't believe as we do, and we don't hate them. In fact, we want to pray for them. Why? For their salvation. We have no hate in our heart for them because there is no need. In fact, Scripture tells us to pray for them. Salvation is at stake. Theirs, not yours. You're already sealed. How many know you're sealed? You are. Don't let any man tell you different. The Bible says you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You love God. He knows you. So Scripture tells us to pray for them. As Jesus does not give up on anybody, neither should who? Us. Right? Am I being honest? Am I telling the truth so far?
Yes.
Okay. I want to be a little personal just for a minute. And I know this is repetition in a way, but I want you to know today in my heart. My only desire is to preach the word. I stand here and getting tears thinking about it. That I come here today to preach the word, not to demand you listen to me or believe, but to trust in his word. To lead you with his word, to guide you, to bring you joy, and to bring you hope to you and to me. As I preach to you, I preach to me. As I see your joy, it gives me joy. If I see your peace, it gives me peace as your shepherd. To give you strength and understanding. As much as it is my desire, it is my prayer that I preach according to his word, not mine. And this is important right here. I pray God shows me my errors every week, every Bible study. My words that lead you astray ever. If I ever say anything that teaches you something contrary to the word of God, I pray that God shows me, or a chance to explain, or a chance for me to dig deeper so that I give you scripture. I give you the truth. I am not the best, and that's funny for me even saying it, but hopefully I'm not the worst. But even if I am the worst and I'm preaching Jesus, I think that's still pretty good. But I said, I'm not the best or the worst, yet I am someone who prays, who reads, who studies all week, and then reads again and go back and study and look into things that have nothing to do with my sermon, because the roads that I'm taking, what does that mean? And where is it? That's what I do. That's how I set my sermons in your Bible studies, in prayer and in study. His word matters to me everything. Jesus is my all in all, and that's the thing that I want to lead you to. His word, his son, and his spirit in this house. Why? To lead you to his word. And this is important. You're going to hear a lot of the word you here in the next little paragraph. I want you to pay attention. To lead you to his word. Whose word?
His word.
To read it. Who? You. So he can speak to who? You. That spirit hungers. The Bible said the Holy Spirit inside of you hungers for you to read God's word. It's like the spirit inside of you is saying, you know, it's a spark, and the more you read it, that light gets brighter. Think about that. And you stop reading, and the light gets dimmer and dimmer, and he's like, I'm in here. I'm in here. I need to be fed. Could you feed me some of Father's words? And then you start to read, and that spirit inside of you, your faith, or maybe your comfort, or your joy, or a prayer, starts to build up. And you get blessed because God is talking to you, not your pastor, not anybody else, but you, through you in the Bible. How many know it's the living word? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? He wants to speak to you. The spirit inside you yearns to hear the words of the Father. Jesus said in the book of Luke, this is really interesting, because of Jesus, men will hate thee. And it says some won't even know why. Anybody find that to be true yet? You think about that. Some for because of Jesus, because you love Jesus, the Bible says, men will hate you. And they won't even know why they hate you. But there's something about Jesus that they hate, so they hate you because you are the light that shines from the world. They won't even know why. That's fascinating. But it's truth. Luke said, judge not and you shall not be judged. You've heard that before, right? Amen? Passing judgment, that's what it means. Passing judgment. And some people that don't believe you on take that scripture and say, you can't judge me. See, the Bible says you can't judge me. And here's where they miss it, Deacon Sergio. We give them unconditional love, not unconditional approval, not unconditional acceptance. We just don't. We just don't accept what the Bible says is sin. We just don't. We live in it and we pray for it, but we don't accept it. Somebody said, you have to accept me the way I am. I said, I accept you the way you are, but I don't have to accept all that other stuff. Your sins and your, I don't approve of that. Amen?
Amen.
But we walk as a family. How many fall short? I fall short daily. Every single day, so I can't judge you. Because see, the Bible says when I judge, and this is powerful, it is judged back to me by God in the way that I judge others. That should like say, ooh, that's more powerful, isn't it? If I just said, judge not, you shall not be judged, but you read the other scripture that says, you will be judged in the manner that you judge others. So, when we can, we should pray for others. How many know that's true? And let me give you a reason why. One reason why. Maybe you never thought of it this way. It could be that one prayer that God answers. Maybe God is close to praying for something, to change something that you're praying for. Somebody else you're thinking about. And then you sit down, no matter who it is or what it is, you pray about it. And maybe it was that prayer that moved God to answer. Is that possible? I think absolutely yes. Because he hears all our prayers. Maybe he's waiting for one more person to pray that. Somebody he's waiting on because it'll change their life. He'll know that when that person prays, he'll know that I answered. Amen? Like I told you happened to me that day in this church when something happened and I knew because it was just between me and God. Maybe he's waiting for you to say that prayer. How does that make you feel? It should be great, I think. After all, how would you feel if somebody you just despised or something you despised or something and you prayed about it and they turned their life around, they gave it to God and they changed their life. How would you feel being responsible for that? I would think pretty awesome. Amen? And you know what I'm saying? Somebody is something that you just, and as you judge it, you just, but you say, no, I can't judge them, I'm going to pray for them. And something happens and that changes. Would you feel great? I would. After all, church, nothing is impossible with who? Nothing's a big word, right? We can talk later downstairs. You can tell me what's beside nothing. Nothing's impossible with God, so you can pray for what? Well, can you pray for that? Well, nothing. I don't know. So I ask you again today, where is your faith level? I know my bride and I have a prayer, and I want to share some of it later, and I want to talk more about it because it has to be answered. It has to be answered soon. And I don't mean I'm pushing God. I'm just saying that there's a prayer that we've been praying, and maybe we're just not praying with enough faith. And I understand your needs. I understand the feeling of having a need, that there's injustice in the world, and it's happening right in front of us. And we can't do anything about it, so we have to go to God because he can. Amen? So I want you to understand that that's what they're saying. Nothing's impossible with God. So if we pray the right prayer, and I don't mean trying to persuade God, but there's something, whatever's in the hearts of people, change. We know that everything else will change too if God intercedes. Because nothing is impossible with who? So, judge not or you shall be judged. So it says, when we speak, only about others' faults, we break that commandment. When we speak about others' faults, speaking sort of breaks that commandment, doesn't it? When we only speak of others' faults, when we hide the hidden motives of others, when we judge the hidden motives of others, we don't know what's going on, we don't know their life, but we judge the hidden motives of others, we break that commandment. Can you say amen?
You're not sure.
Say amen with me. Amen. When you do something against what God tells us to do, what are we doing? Breaking what? We're not doing what He tells us to do. Amen. Is that better? When you do it, when you judge somebody's hidden motives, and God's going to judge you with those hidden motives, I'm telling you, you don't want that. Maybe it'll get to you too. When you judge others without considering ourselves in the same circumstance. Ouch. When we judge others without considering ourselves in the same circumstance. That's pretty good right there, right? If we do that, we're not doing what God told us to do. And you might say, Pastor, there's evil in the world, and there's people doing evil stuff, and there's people who don't believe Jesus, and there's churches that are preaching this, and there's religions that are teaching that. I got it right here, Matthew 15. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads, the blind both will fall in the pit. That's what's going to happen to those people. You don't have to worry about it. If there's people in the world that don't know the Lord, don't know Jesus, don't get upset about it, because if they're preaching it, amen, Brother Jim has said that they are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads, the blind both will fall into the ditch. Right?
Yeah.
That's scripture. You don't have to scream at them and nothing, because you say, man, you're falling in a hole that nobody can get you out of. And the thing about God that's great is as you're falling in the abyss, and you're falling, and you're falling, and you say, Jesus, help me. What's He going to do? You're good. Stand there. You might not be in a place in heaven that you thought you'd be, but you're going to be there because you called on the Son. And we can't get mad at that either, amen, because we want all to be saved. We want all to have salvation. But they are all blind leaders of the blind. All these other religions, and I'm just being honest, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the book, and I believe in the Bible. If you don't, okay, I'll pray for you. I don't hate you. But if you continue to preach that these things are right and aren't right in this book, and you teach people and lead the people to say, this is right, well, Jesus was progressive. I said, okay. Well, he came today, he would see things different. I'd say, okay, but there's one problem. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. No. Was it wrong? Was he different today? Yesterday he's gonna. Oops! I made a mistake. I never saw that coming. Can you picture God in heaven saying, "Oh, I never saw that coming"? It's insanity. I mean, it's just insane. I'm being honest with you. This is in Luke. This is good. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? I think it might be in your notes. Yeah. Think about that for a second. Let that sink in. And he uses the word Lord twice. That's for emphasis. That's like, why do you, you know what, because when you're all excited, say, Lord, Lord, help me. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Makes you stop, doesn't it? It would make me stop. And it makes you think and focus back on who? On God. Focus on Jesus and His Spirit. It's called like a tune-up. Anybody ever have a tune-up? What they say, from the neck up, you need something from the neck up. You need something from the neck up. You know what that, help me, anybody with that? Fred? Needs a tune-up from the head. But that, see, when he said, Jesus said that, Has anybody ever done that? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Anybody do the things that Jesus, I mean, come on, anybody, right? Am I, are you guys here? Come on, get excited. I love it. It's great. This is all good stuff. It makes you stop and think and focus back on who? God. Isn't that good? If it makes you focus back on God, it's good for you. Not good for God. He's up there. He's up there doing what he's doing with the angels. But when it's good for you, it's good for you. Because he loves you. He says in John, this is great little scripture. This is awesome. This is Jesus. Listen to what he says. You believe in God, believe also in me. Anybody ever hear that scripture, John 14? You believe in God. And picture Jesus standing up here. And he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. So the first thing he started thinking is, you can believe in God and not believe in Jesus? Yes. You can believe in a God and not believe in Jesus. You can believe that there's people who believe in God and don't believe in Jesus. I don't want to be there when the rapture comes. I don't want to be, we're going to be gone. You're going to be gone when the rapture comes. But those people that don't believe in Jesus, they're going to be there for the tribulation. I don't want that for my family and friends. But he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And I said this. He used believe twice, and he used the word in twice, which I thought was interesting in that. And those little words, right, those eight little words. He does not say, you must believe in God, and you must believe in me. Isn't it interesting? When you look at it, think about it. He didn't say, Brother John, you believe, you must believe in me. You must believe in God, and you must believe in me. He simply says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Why? Because there's a peace about his words. He's not trying to scare you. He's not trying to anything, but there's a love there. He's saying, imagine like your friend saying, believe in you, believe in God, believe also in me. There's a peace in his words. There's a gentleness, amen? Can you feel the gentleness, Jim? Can you feel it? When he's being gentle with us, believe also in me. It's like he's pleading with us with great love for our souls, even today, for today. It's like that whole believing, you believe in God, believe also in me. It's like, please, do it because it's your salvation. It's your future. It's your hope. I will be with you always. I have a great love for your souls. Nobody loves you more than God does because he gave his only son. He loved us before we loved him. There's so much love in the Bible from God that it's we can't put it in words. And I'm glad we can't put the beautiful things of God in words. If we can't, it wouldn't be God-like. But the fact that we can't really explain God is great. That's how great he is. And he's saying, you believe in God. Good. Believe also in me. It's for your soul. For your souls. For today. You know, he said that 2,000 years ago, but it's the same thing today, right? Believe in me. Believe in who? Jesus. Hallelujah. John 14, it's in your book. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ready? No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a bold statement, amen. It's in there, right there in your bulletin. And you've heard it 100 times, 1,000 times. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That no one kind of eliminates anybody else. Right? Anybody else is a no one. No one does. Who else? No, no one. He doesn't say, I will show you the way. He doesn't say, I will teach you the truth. He doesn't say, I will teach you the secret to life. He doesn't say that. Amen? Understand, he doesn't say, Jim, I'm going to show you the way. Or, Zippy, I'm going to teach you the truth. No. Right? This is great. This is our Jesus. He says what? I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thank you, Lord. That's powerful stuff. Jesus said to use his name when you pray to the Father. When you use my name, in the name of Jesus, I pray. How many know that's true? Nobody comes to the Father except through him. This is partly, I want you to listen to this. We have a blessing. We have a privilege. I don't know, it's a better word than privilege. This privilege that we have, this gift that we've been given, Abraham didn't know it. Moses didn't have it. David didn't have it. Elijah didn't have it. They didn't have the privilege of going to who? Jesus. Because they didn't have the understanding to go to who? Jesus. This is interesting, right? Because Jesus wasn't changing anything. He just came and gave us a new promise. He said, use my name. And here's the thing. Jesus was with Abraham. Jesus was with Moses. Jesus was with Elijah. He was with David. How do we know that? Because John 1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was right there with his Father all the time that God is promising to Abraham. And he's right there with David all the time God is talking to, and Solomon. He's all the Old Testament people, all the prophets. Jesus was a part of it. They just didn't have the privilege that you have. They didn't have the things that you have. Because he came and told us to use his name. And then he says in John 14, this is where people got, I want you to understand. He said to them, greater works will you do. Greater works will you do than Abraham. Greater works will you do than Moses. Greater works will you do than David, than Solomon, than anybody else in the Old Testament. Why? Because you go to Jesus. That's why you're going to do greater works, because you're going to go to the Son now. You see, you have an advocate. You have somebody sitting there waiting for you to call on him to go to the Father. You have the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the Spirit the way you do. They didn't have that inside them like you. They were not sealed with the Holy Spirit. You see what you have? That's why Jesus said, greater things you will do. Same God, amen? Same Father in heaven, same Bible. Same teacher. Jesus was there. But now, because of Jesus, we have an advocate. Anybody ever been to court? You need a good lawyer? He's the best of all the best. He is, simply. Greater works now, for now we have Jesus. Get it? They were never told about Jesus. Isn't that interesting? They were never told about Jesus or understood him. He was simply a prophecy to come. Isaiah knew about the prophecy. He wrote about it. Elijah knew. And this is, you see, well, are those people in heaven? Are those people in paradise? I'm getting ahead of myself. But I want to say, anybody remember the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus? Who was with him? Moses and Elijah. You have salvation through Jesus. I think they're there. David's there. He says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Wow. And the Father commanded. In Leviticus, he said, the Lord spoke to Moses. He said, you shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinance to walk in them, because I am the Lord your God. Moses heard from God, amen? The God of the Bible. God gave them a law. God gave them things that they had to follow. Israel is the only kingdom that specifically recognizes Yahweh as their king and covenant. The only other country that even comes, even though they don't know Jesus, they know this book and they follow that. Not very well with a lot of things, amen. I just want you to understand. I wrote that and I said, Lord, I want to say that because I want you, the only other kingdom. And we're going to get to Deuteronomy. It says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. That was a promise from God the Father in Deuteronomy. Amen. He said it to Israel. He said it to the Jews, to the Hebrews. But he says it to the world. Nothing's changed. Jesus said, I haven't changed the word of God at all. So the Old Testament, the New Testament, all those laws, he said that. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. You can't tell me that this nation isn't blessed because of God. And I believe that with all my heart. You don't have to believe that. You don't have to believe the way I do. But I believe this nation, with all its wealth, with all its prosperity, with all its freedoms, with everything that we live, and everybody wanting to be here because of him. Now, the people running the country not always follow him. How many know that's true? And there's politicians in the world that don't even know God. There's socialists in the world that don't care about your God. But I don't care about them because God is greater than me. He doesn't look at them like he respects them. He looks at them, are you calling on me or my son? But there's enough people in this nation calling on him and his son, amen? Because the blessings pour down. They continue to pour down even when fools do foolish things, amen? Even when evil is happening in the world, we pray to God and he pours the blessings down. He doesn't care about that. He cares that we love him. And he said all blessings will be ours if we do that. David said, yet the Lord, the God of Israel, chose me from my whole family to be king over Israel forever. Not the king, but a king. And God said to Solomon, I will establish his kingdom, Solomon's kingdom, forever, if he unswerving and carrying out my commandments and laws, as is being done at this time. Solomon built the temple. Where did he build the temple? In Jerusalem. David said, be careful, Solomon, to follow all the commandments of the Lord, your God, that you may possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance to your descendants forever. But they must do one thing now. They must follow Jesus. They have the commandments from God the Father, but they have now a new commandment from Jesus. Amen? But God has promised David. He promised Solomon. He promised Abraham. He promised all those. And he's not going to change his promise. It's called the promised land. I encourage you to read the book of Numbers and go back and read about and what happened when they sent the 12 out into the promised land. And 10 of them came back and said, there's no way. We ain't gonna. And 2 came back and said, it's great, let's go. And out of the 10, they listened to the 10 and they started wandering around. And what happened to those people? They wandered around until the generation that left Egypt died. They were right there at the promise. They were right there at the promised land. But 10 come back and said, there's people that, boy, they're bait. We'll never. 2 came back and said, let's do it. No. And so they wandered for 40 years until the generation that left Egypt dies. What should have taken 40 days took 40 years. Until God was ready to open up the promised land to his chosen people. Amen. Bethlehem, Galilee, Cana, Bethany, Ephraim, the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized, Jericho and Hebron, and of course, Jerusalem. Okay. And in your bulletin, and I'm going to close with this, because God has a... Amen. Isaiah. They will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered together in a pit, and you will shut up the prison, and many will say, no, that's not the right scripture. And that's the right number, but maybe I gave you the wrong one this morning. Forgive me, church. You love me? Where did I say it? It's in my Bible. Good Lord. For the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. Let me read that again. This is the plan. For the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in where? Jerusalem. And before his elders gloriously. Praise the Lord. That's his plan. Amen. 24, 20. I closed it up. I'm sorry. It's the last line in 24. The last line in 24. It's okay. That's why we're human and that's why we love each other. 24:23 said, then the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. We don't pray for sinners. We pray for their sin. We ask them, God, to forgive them. Amen. But we pray for God's will to be done. Can I get an amen? Give him praise, church.
That's your servant, Lord. So don't judge me, or else.
Muslims used to call Jerusalem the Holy Land, too. They still have it there. But they don't pray towards Jerusalem any longer. They pray towards Mecca, which is sort of Saudi Arabia. That's where they, when they pray five times a day, they face Mecca. They believe Muhammad, who was 500 years after Jesus, walked on this earth and seek God. But they said Muhammad got to talk to Gabriel, the same angel that spoke to Daniel, and the same angel that came, they believe that he spoke to him and Daniel, and Gabriel gave him all this stuff that they wrote. He had to write it down, all his writings. That's where their faith lies. They don't believe in Jesus. In fact, Jesus is a blasphemy in a sense that Allah, they call God, doesn't need any help. If you say God needs any help, he didn't need the Father and the Son. He didn't need the Son and the Holy Spirit. They believe that there's God. That's it. He didn't need a helper. So anything else is blasphemy. They don't believe it. Hallelujah. Understand? They don't. They never will. They never will believe that because they believe that Ishmael was the chosen one, the promise from Ishmael. And they believe that Muhammad was the preacher, the man who went out and sought after God and got the word from Gabriel. And the funny part is there's Sunnis and Shiites. Anybody ever heard that? And they all agree on the same thing up until after Muhammad. And then the next person after Muhammad, that's where they divide. Amen? There's somebody who followed Muhammad in one group. The Sunnis follow and the Shiites follow the other guy who followed Muhammad, and they can't even get along. But I will tell you this, and I hope I say it right because I've been trying to preach it right. When the rapture comes, who's going to be left behind? Think about that. If you don't love Jesus and he's not in your heart, when the rapture comes and they take all the believers, who's left to face the tribulation? Think about that. Those people left are going to face 7 years of tribulation like things we've never seen before and things you don't want to see. That's why we pray for them. We don't need to be upset at them, mad at them, call them names. We need to pray for them. Because when the rapture, and there's no Bible word for rapture. It's called the taking away. It's at the last time before all that happens that the believers will be taken away. So when that happens, you look behind you and see all those other people who didn't believe being left behind. Don't be surprised where they live or what they're doing and who they are. Amen? My pastor always said to be surprised who's there and who's not. But it comes right down to Jesus. And if you don't believe according to our scriptures, enjoy the tribulation. Thank you. Keep reading. I just read too much stuff. I got so much stuff. I got papers at home and notes on it. And I want to understand before I preach it and understand. So I look up what this word means and what that word means and why they believe that. And I know I get the Quran 101 and the Hebrew Nation 101. There's a rabbi that wrote the Voices the other day. Did you see it yet? The new one. And I want to call him up and talk to him and say, I just want to talk to him and say, he's a man of God. He preaches the Bible. He doesn't preach about Jesus. I want to Because I want to know, amen? The Bible says not to look at other religions. It's not for me to study the Quran. He said, don't even inquire about other gods. And I take that seriously. Because when you inquire about other gods, all of a sudden you say, hey, that sounds pretty good. Maybe we should do that. Oh, yeah, that, you know what? Maybe I'll do that in my church. You see, and that's how it starts. That's how other things get into church. That's why I said in the study, I preach the word. I pray every day if I make a mistake that he hits me upside the head later and tells me that I've led you astray. Because I'm just me. I'm just sitting at a desk and I make tremendous messes at home and I do all this stuff like you. But I read and I want to give you the truth. Give God praise. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. What a privilege he's given us to use his name. Wow. Anybody ever went anywhere and you knew the owners of the restaurant? You say, I'm a friend of so-and-so. Come on in. You go to a show, you go somewhere and you know somebody. Oh, come on in and put you in the front row. Jesus is saying, you know me. Use my name. Abraham didn't have that. David didn't have that. Moses didn't have that. You have it. Wow. Thank you for it. Thank you, Father. Lord, just continue to praise him and ask God to bless each and every one of you for getting up in the rain and getting your clothes on and getting in your car and coming to church this morning. I pray that you receive something that made you smile, or something that gave you hope, or something you want to dig into and know more about. That's the success of it.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the oceans, like the fall. God bless America.